I am a certified lay speaker now, so I guess this is legitimate. And I do want to make the comment that if any of you ever feel called to serve as a lay speaker, our district and certainly our conference have a very nice program for training and certification and recertification. So something indeed to keep in mind. I thought for quite a while that I would want to do lay speaking, but I thought I would wait until I got a little gray hair. I figured I needed some wisdom, and I thought I'd know that I had wisdom when I got gray hair. Now, I say that, although Pastor Sunny, of course, has lots of wisdom, and I don't think she's going to have any gray hair for decades. Pastor Bill really never had gray hair. He was the first to admit that he had a bald spot. And my children are the first to admit that I have a bald spot. But I don't think that has anything to do with wisdom. In a more serious vein, though, as I get older, the less wise I really feel. Sometimes, instead of understanding things better, I feel I have more questions and doubts. But that's not a terrible thing. For that's when we try a little harder to learn and understand. And through it all, sometimes our faith can become deeper and become stronger. And that's a theme of one of the themes of our sermon this morning, having faith when things don't seem to make sense. And certainly that was the position that Joseph was in our reading of Matthew. And our reading from Isaiah emphasizes having faith even when we are in life's wilderness experiences. Not just having faith in these situations, but then accepting them, accepting things as they are. So I want to talk about these two passages. I want to talk some about this concept of acceptance, and I want to talk eventually about perhaps what they might say to us as individuals, but also as a congregation and as members of our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. But do you believe that Joseph? What a phenomenal guy. Mary, of course, gets a great deal of recognition, and deservedly so. She realized the blessing of her role, and she accepted it faithfully. Our reading on Joseph, Joseph is from Matthew, but in Luke 1:38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." A few verses later, she praises God enthusiastically in the passage we call Mary's Song. Mary, her faith, and her acceptance of her role have been cherished through the history of Christianity. But Joseph probably didn't feel quite so blessed. He was in love and engaged to be married. And then he found that his fiancée was pregnant. And he knew that it wasn't his baby. And so that could be a disturbing situation. But the passage says that Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Then Joseph had a dream. An angel told him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." Now, not all guys would be real receptive to that message. But Joseph wasn't like most guys. He didn't sing a song. He's not quite as revered as his eventual wife became. But he showed remarkable faith, acceptance, and cooperation. And indeed, he showed obedience. We don't know much about Joseph. He didn't stay in the picture for long. He seems to have died somewhere between Jesus' childhood and the beginning of his ministry. But what a calm, faithful, and remarkable man he must have been. For when Joseph awoke, he did what the angel had demanded that he do. He didn't understand. He couldn't understand. But Joseph played his part with faith and obedience. He accepted his role so that 30 years later, when Jesus started his ministry, the promise was fulfilled. And that is a story with a message of hope. And so is our other passage from Isaiah, a voice calling from the wilderness. Joseph must have felt like he was in the wilderness. And so often we do as well. We all suffer from wilderness experiences, wondering and not sure what we should do, which direction we should head. These are times that we can seem discouraging, and hopeless. These are the times that we feel our weakest and our most vulnerable, and they can be the low points of our life. But our passage from Isaiah is not a message of hopelessness. It expresses comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her the hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God is with us in our wilderness experiences, and God was with Joseph as he ventured out into the unknown and the unexpected. But it's not just about comfort, is it? There's a common thread that runs between these two passages, and that thread has to do with acceptance. And that indeed was the title that I was given this morning, Open Up Acceptance. We need to accept our wilderness experiences. We need to realize that they're a natural part of our life and our spiritual journal, a spiritual journey. There will always be times in our life where we search and we stumble. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus' temptation took place in the wilderness. Deep spiritual transformation can occur in the wilderness. We see Joseph had to accept his role, and accept that he did. He didn't understand it. He couldn't quite grasp it, but he showed remarkable faith, trust, and acceptance. I believe that these two scriptures speak to us both as individuals and as members of our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. Indeed, we hear and learn from this morning's emphasis on acceptance. But please allow me to also include them as three other concepts. Perhaps we'll say four steps in our spiritual growth. The first step, then, is humility. And I spoke of this at the beginning of my message this morning. The first step is to humble ourselves before God and to admit the limitations of our understanding and of our power. So much of our spiritual journey is a mystery. I certainly didn't understand it all when I had brown hair, and I'm not so sure that I understand it much better now that it's turning gray. But sometimes God seems to smile on our humility. Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." And it was significant for me to realize that it was Peter who said this. Paul, of course, wrote most of the epistles, and I was thinking that it was written by Paul. But no, it comes from Peter, 1 Peter. And Peter, I feel, had a great deal to feel humble about. Please excuse my apparent disrespect, but sometimes Peter, on his own power, often has kind of reminded me of somewhat of a buffoon. He tried to walk on water until, of course, his faith gave out. When Jesus stooped to wash his feet, he said, no, no, don't wash my feet. And then when Jesus insisted, he said, well, if you're going to wash my feet, you might as well wash the rest of me as well. And if Mary had perhaps one of the most affirming experiences in the history of Christianity, then Peter would seem to have had perhaps the most humiliating. For he had promised Jesus that he would never deny him. And of course, before the cock crowed, he denied him three times. Peter, on his own strength, they had every reason to be humble. But after witnessing the resurrection, and after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, then Peter became an extraordinarily effective and powerful apostle. Joseph had to humble himself as well and disregard his natural logic and self-protective tendencies. Our first step as individuals, then, is to humble ourselves before God, admitting our weaknesses and placing our dependence upon God. This acceptance that we're speaking of this morning would seem to be the second step. We need to accept our wilderness experiences, and we need to accept the special roles and tasks that God puts before us. Joseph certainly did. And when we really listen, we realize that God asks us to accept various roles and tasks as well. They may not be huge. Unfortunately, they may not be what we feel that we want to do, or even that we're prepared to do. But our job is to accept what God has in store for us. But of course, acceptance isn't an end in itself. Eventually, we have to take the next step, the step of obedience. We can't just accept our role and our calling. We must obey. Under the direction of God, under the teaching of Jesus Christ, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity. But even then, with that guidance, our abilities are limited. I'm fond of a quote I read years ago from the American preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick. He was a minister of Riverside Church in New York City during the middle of the 20th century. In his book, Real People, Fosdick said, "None of us is big enough to take responsibility for everything. Our accountability is limited by our ability, and that is small. Any man, then, who can handle his proper obligations that lay near at hand, doing the day's stint as best he can, sure that the larger load has under it shoulders stronger than his, and behind it a mind wiser than his, has some chance of being an effective person, with the inner calm and poise that are the mark of real strength. One way or another, such unhurried, unstrained, composed, and confident living always involves a positive faith." Fosdick's emphasis was on trust and the power that comes with that trust. It even makes reference to the witness that calm, confident living can provide to the outside world. This quote also reminds me of Joseph and his calm, quiet trust. But his quote also emphasizes that even as we try to obey, our abilities are very limited. The humility that we began with is fully justified. So doesn't this then leads us to the final stage as we undertake our spiritual calling, and that would be surrender. Indeed, we can't do it on our own. We are too weak on our own, and as John quotes Jesus as saying in his gospel, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." But the beautiful thing is that we're never apart from Christ, and that we're never separated from God. But we must realize the importance of relying fully on God. And we hear that repeatedly from Pastor Sonny, or Frog, fully rely on God. And the way that we fully rely on God is by surrendering to Him, by surrendering to His help in all of these endeavors. So as individuals, we must first humble ourselves before God. We must accept the tasks and the roles that He gives us and accept our wilderness experiences. We must obey God's calling, and we must indeed surrender to God's leadership. But what do these scriptures then tell us as a congregation of Our Redeemer's United Methodist Church? Well, we have realized that wilderness experiences do happen, and they don't just happen to us. They are universal. But we have something to help us through that so many others people don't. We have our faith, as imperfect as that faith may be. We have our God, as limited as sometimes our understanding of God might be. And we have each other. We have our church home. We realize that in our spiritual journey, we're not going by ourselves. We have our church family. And we have to be aware that so many others in our world and in our lives and in our neighborhood wandering in their own wilderness, who are searching and searching for answers, searching for comfort. And there are people, whole families in a church's neighborhood who don't have a church home. And some of their wilderness might actually may be worse by this Christmas season, what our society prefers to call the holiday season. For it's a season of joy. For us, it's a season of joy, but not for everyone. For too many people, it's a season of sadness and of disappointment. Yet, if we're honest, we'll admit that for us, Christmas time isn't always that it should be either. It can be stressful, with time constraints and financial worries and nostalgia that sometimes leads to sadness. Imagine how difficult this time can be for those who simply think of it as being the holiday season. So what can we do? What can we offer these people? For one thing, we can invite them here to come and celebrate Christmas with us. For over a decade, our church has been delivering letters to neighbors of the church every Advent. And, of course, we say that if they already have a church home, we're certainly not trying to pull them away from there. We encourage them to worship and celebrate Christmas there. But if they don't have a church home, to express to them that they're more than welcome to come and celebrate with us. We mention our services and our music program. And it tells them that if they're not quite ready to visit a church, that they're always welcome to know that we're here and that they're always welcome to come and worship. And our church's evangelism committee will soon have those letters, and Donna will as well, if you'd like to pick one up and pick some up and give them to your own neighbors, or perhaps even be given a neighborhood to hand-deliver some around the church's neighborhood. But secondly, what do we do when these people do come? What do we do when there's new faces that come through our church's door searching for answers and meaning and for comfort and a renewal of that joy that perhaps they remember that Christmas can bring? That brings us back to the sermon title. For, of course, we do want to welcome them. We want to let them know how very pleased we are that they have come and worship with us. We want to show them just why our church has been described through the years as being such a friendly and welcoming church. And we want to make sure that they feel fully accepted. For in so doing, some have entertained strangers unaware, and in so doing, we can help to fulfill our church's mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Please join me in a prayer. Dear Lord, lead us to indeed open up to acceptance, to accept the tasks, the roles, and roles that you may give us, to accept our wilderness experiences that they might transform us into the people that you want us to be. And we accept the wonderful gift you give us in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us to share that gift with others at Christmas and throughout the year. Amen.